Charlie is a 14-year-old boy with pain in his right thigh for the past several weeks. His father nonchalantly mentions that he thought it was growing pains, but figured it would be best to make sure. Charlie has mild tenderness over the anterior thigh and a palpable mass, but his exam is otherwise normal. You order an x-ray and find a bony outgrowth at the end of his femur. The radiology reports describe it as being consistent with osteochondroma. You know his parents will be very worried about this, so you want to be able to give them complete information to help them understand the pathology. How will you help explain to Charlie and his parents the diagnosis? Hi and welcome to Audio Breaks. My name is Alex Dennis, and this is the break on primary bone tumors. Let's get to it! After completing this section, you'll be able to 1. Define primary, hematopoietic, and metastatic bone tumors. 2. Describe the pathologic appearance and clinical presentation of the most common benign primary bone tumors, which are osteochondroma and osteoid osteoma. And 3. Describe the pathologic appearance and clinical presentation of the most common malignant primary bone tumors, which include osteosarcoma, chondrosarcoma, and Ewing sarcoma. We are lucky that most malignant bone cancers are quite rare, given their lethal nature, but they become more common in some special situations. A very tragic one was the dropping of the atom bombs in Hiroshima and Nagasaki, Japan, during World War II. The radiation from these bombs, far less than that seen in modern weapons today, caused a massive increase in cancer rates in the survivors. For example, the rate of malignant bone sarcoma soared to 2 per 10,000 people, a 50-fold increase. Most patients developed their cancer 20 to 30 years after the bomb. We hope to never again demonstrate the effect of such lethal radiation on cancer rates, but we will still likely face this after accidents at nuclear reactors, such as Chernobyl and Fukushima. It's important to recognize cancers of the bone, even if rare in the general population. Part 1. What is bone neoplasia? A neoplasm is the abnormal growth of new cells, which can cause a tumor. A variety of tumors can grow in our bones, and luckily more of them are benign, or non-cancerous, than malignant, cancerous. What causes these tumors? We usually don't know, though we do note that the majority of malignant bone tumors are secondary, which means that the cancer originated from other organs, including the nearby bone marrow, and spread to the bones. Malignant primary bone tumors, primary for those that start in the bone, are thankfully rare but still are the sixth most common cancer in children and third most common in adolescents. In the United States, about 3,000 cases of malignant bone tumors are diagnosed each year, and about half of these cases result in death. The terminology of these tumors overlaps quite a bit and can be confusing. We usually equate the prefix sarco with muscle, sarcomere, sarcolemma, sarcoplasmic reticulum. But when we talk cancer, think sarcoma as part of the dichotomy with carcinoma. Carcinomas are malignant cancers of epithelial origin, while sarcomas are malignant cancer of mesenchymal origin. These are much rarer than carcinomas. The mesenchyme gives rise to the musculoskeletal system, so bone, cartilage, and muscle. So that's why primary malignant bone tumors contain the term sarcoma. The other terms are more intuitive, though. Osteo is bone, and chondro is cartilage. We'll introduce the three main types of bone neoplasia, and then go into more depth on the primary bone tumors. Let's pause for a vocab question. What is a chondrosarcoma? A chondrosarcoma is a malignant tumor that originates from cartilage cells. Chondro, cartilage, sarcoma, malignant cancer of mesenchymal origin. Okay, so as we mentioned, primary bone tumors are those that originate in your bones, and they can be benign or malignant. Benign primary bone tumors are non-malignant primary growths of bone or cartilage. The most common are osteochondroma and osteoid osteoma. They mostly cause localized pain and sometimes nerve compression. In other words, the symptoms arise from the mass effect of the benign tumor. Malignant primary bone tumors are rare and include osteosarcoma and Ewing sarcoma. They can have a very poor prognosis and require surgical and chemotherapy treatment. Malignant hematopoietic cancers are not primary bone cancer, but they can spread locally from the adjacent bone marrow to the bone. These cancers include multiple myeloma, non-Hodgkin lymphoma, and other acute and chronic leukemias and lymphomas. They may cause osteolytic or osteoblastic bone lesions. All patients with suspected bone tumors should have a full complete blood count and then a bone marrow aspirate if bone marrow malignancy is suspected. Multiple myeloma can also be diagnosed with serum protein electrophoresis, showing an abnormal antibody spike. Metastasis refers to malignant cancer that originates in one organ and spreads to other locations via the blood or lymphatics. Metastasis is the most common cause of malignant bone tumors. Tumors from the prostate, breast, lung, thyroid, and kidney often metastasize to the bone. Metastasis to the bones of the spine, skull, ribs, and pelvis is most common, but any bone can be affected. When metastatic cancer spreads to the bone, it can affect it in two ways. First, osteolytic lesions are small holes in the bone that cause it to weaken, making the bone more likely to fracture. This is caused by the cancer cell's upregulation of bone osteoclasts that act to break down bone. Osteoblasts build bone. Osteoclasts catastrophe bone is how I remember it. Typical osteolytic cancers are non-small cell lung cancer, thyroid cancer, renal cell carcinoma, and melanoma. Osteoblastic lesions, on the other hand, cause increased bone deposition and come from upregulation of osteoblast activity. On an X-ray, osteoblastic metastases will appear as regions that are more white than the surrounding bone due to increased matrix formation. Typical osteoblastic cancers are prostate cancer, small cell lung cancer, and Hodgkin's lymphoma. A few cancer types, like breast and gastrointestinal cancers, can produce both kinds of lesions in the same area of metastasis. Either type makes patients more likely to have bone fractures or pathologic fracture due to the disordered bone architecture. We're at a good stopping point here, so let's try a question. What type of bone lesions do prostate cancer and small cell lung cancer typically cause? These cancers typically cause osteoblastic lesions. Any patient with suspected bone malignancy on X-ray exams needs a thorough evaluation to see if the cancer is metastatic, since this is so much more common than primary bone cancer. Evaluation might include computed tomography scanning, prostate-specific antigen screening for prostate cancer, and mammography for breast cancer, depending on the patient. Metastasis of any cancer is a poor prognostic finding. Treatment may include chemotherapy to try to eradicate the cancer cells globally or radiation to eradicate them in vulnerable regions. For example, irradiation of the spine or hip to prevent fractures. Part 2. Types of benign primary bone tumors. Fortunately, benign primary bone tumors are much more common than the rare malignant primary bone tumors. We'll examine two of the most common types as well as some common bony outgrowths, like bone spurs, that can cause local pain. Let's start with osteochondromas, since they're the most common benign bone tumor. These tumors are an overgrowth of bone and cartilage, typically at the metaphysis of the bone. The metaphysis is the neck portion of a long bone between the epiphysis and the diaphysis, or shaft. It has its own name because it contains the growth plate. So it should be easy to remember that osteochondromas originate in the metaphysis, since that's where you can find both cartilage and bone. Osteochondroma. Osteochondromas usually occur in teenage boys or young men, often as painless mass around the knee or shoulder. Their growth stops once the growth plates fuse when patients reach their teens. Osteochondromas are usually diagnosed incidentally on X-rays done for another reason. Osteochondromas are usually diagnosed incidentally on X-rays done for another reason, but they occasionally cause local pain. The typical imaging findings are bony exostosis. It basically looks like a mushroom growing on the neck of the bone. In French, mushroom is champignon, and that kind of reminds me of chondroma, so that's how I remember the link. The tumor usually has a cartilaginous cap, which is often not visible on plain X-rays because the density is similar to that of the adjacent tissue. The cartilage cap is best seen on MRI, where it truly looks like a mushroom. Due to the characteristic imaging appearance, a biopsy is usually not required to make the diagnosis. Let's break here for a knowledge check. What is seen on X-ray of an osteochondroma? On X-ray, bony exostosis is seen. A cartilaginous cap may sometimes be seen, particularly if the cap contains calcifications. While osteochondromas are benign, they can rarely become malignant. Thus, treatment of osteochondromas involves close monitoring and surgical removal if they enlarge or become painful. Alright, moving on to our second benign primary bone tumor, the osteoid osteoma. Osteoid osteomas are less common than osteochondromas. They are usually seen on the shafts of the long bones, especially the femur. That's compared to the affected metaphysis in osteochondromas. They mostly occur during teenage years and 20s, so a bit later than osteochondromas. Microscopically, they have a core of osteoid and bone alongside fibrous connective tissue. What's osteoid? Well, osteoblasts make bone in two steps. First, they lay down the organic matrix of bone, which is made of collagens and other proteins, and then add calcium and other minerals to it. Osteoid is that unmineralized organic matrix of the bone. Varying degrees of sclerotic bone reaction may surround the tumor. This tumor looks the same microscopically as an osteoblastoma, a less common benign tumor that is usually larger. Some believe that osteoblastoma is a variant of osteoid osteoma. These tumors can be painful, especially in the spine, where they can distort the spinal column and cause scoliosis, which is an abnormal spine curvature. They can also be confused with arthritis if they arise near the joints. Osteoid osteomas are often palpable, but they're typically less than 2 cm in diameter, so are often picked up on X-rays, where they appear as well-demarcated tumors. CT scans are sometimes useful for diagnosis if the plain X-ray's diagnosis is unclear. Osteoid osteomas are only surgically removed if they cause severe pain or impingement on nerves or arteries near the tumor. Pain is controlled with non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drug, or NSAIDs. And that does it for benign primary bone tumors. Let's try a question to drive it home. What part of the long bone do osteoid osteomas usually affect? These benign tumors usually arise in the diaphysis, or shaft, of the femur. Part 3. Types of malignant primary bone tumors. Malignant primary bone tumors are very uncommon, which is fortunate since their prognosis is poor. We'll discuss 3 cancers here. 2 of these, osteosarcoma and Ewing sarcoma, are mostly seen in children and teenagers, whereas chondrosarcomas are usually seen in older adults. Osteosarcoma is rare, affecting 3 people in a million, but still is the most common malignant bone tumor. I remember it because my first guess if I had to make up a malignant bone tumor would be osteosarcoma, i.e., quite literally, bone malignant cancer. The 2 peaks of incidence are the teen years and ages older than 60 years. It's deadly, spreading to the lungs at high rates, but other distant organs can also receive metastases. It can form in any bone, favoring the femur, tibia, and humerus. Factors predisposing patients to osteosarcoma include a history of Paget disease of bone, which is a metabolic bone disease, radiation exposure, familial retinoblastoma, and Li-Fraumeni syndrome, which is an inherited disorder that increases the risk of developing several types of cancers. And just because I have a cool vocal mnemonic for it, Li-Fraumeni, caused by P53. The tumor is thought to arise from early mesenchymal bone-forming cells. Histologically, osteosarcomas show proliferating malignant tumor cells, often with mixed histology, including osteoblastic, fibroblastic, chondroblastic, and osteoclastic giant cells. Its histologic hallmark is the production of malignant osteoid, the uncalcified bone matrix, staining pink on H&E, because again, osteoid is made of collagen and other bone proteins, which are highly eosinophilic. Let's do a knowledge check on that. What are the 2 incidence peaks of osteosarcoma? The two incidence peaks of osteosarcoma are the teen years and ages older than 60 years. Patients may present with pain that is intermittent and often starts after an injury. It may be confused with arthritis. On physical exam, patients may have a warm, tender mass. X-ray findings can be nonspecific, with the tumor appearing either osteoblastic or osteolytic. The classic X-ray finding, though not always seen, is the sunburst pattern, with a Codman triangle, which is a type of periosteal reaction. What's a Codman triangle / periosteal reaction? Well, the cortical bone is covered by a multi-layered fibrous layer called the periosteum, where the bone-forming cells are located. When the periosteum gets very irritated, as is the case with nearby malignant tumors, it sort of lifts off the bone, in this case, leading to a triangular appearance, but there can be other appearances, one of which we'll mention later. Codman triangle is not specific to osteosarcoma, so biopsy is required for diagnosis. Patients with osteosarcoma are generally treated with chemotherapy followed by surgery. Patients are given chemotherapy to ensure that any metastases, even the ones that aren't detected on imaging, are treated. For patients without metastases, the 5-year survival rate is around 70%. Metastases decrease the survival to only 20%. Let's try another question. What are predisposing factors for osteosarcomas? Predisposing factors for osteosarcomas include previous history of Paget disease of the bone, radiation exposure, familial retinoblastoma, and Li-Fraumeni syndrome. Moving on to our second malignant primary bone tumor. Chondrosarcomas are rare tumors of cartilage that range from slow-growing to invasive. They typically are seen in older adults, and the incidence increases with age. The tumors can be very large, growing over 5 centimeters and impinging on normal bone and joints. The tumors mostly arise from undamaged, normal cartilage. Most occur either in the pelvis, ribs, or large bones, such as the humerus or the femur. Histologically, the tumor appears as a swirling mass of cartilage with dark staining nuclei embedded within. The tumor can grow so big that it impinges on the surrounding normal bone. Unlike the usually painless benign osteochondromas, these malignant cartilage tumors are usually painful. Patients complain of dull, achy pain, sometimes worse at night. Because of its common involvement in the pelvis or spine, there may be lower extremity neurologic complaints like shooting pains, weakness, or numbness. The tumor can be seen on X-ray, CT, or MRI. Typical X-ray findings for these tumors include amorphous calcifications resembling popcorn kernels, hence the name popcorn calcifications. Similar to osteochondromas, if these tumors affect the long bone, they typically affect the metaphysis. There also may be erosion of normal bone. Suspected chondrosarcomas require either surgical or needle biopsy, and the main treatment is surgical excision. Metastatic tumors may require chemotherapy and radiation. The 5-year survival rate is about 50%, but varies widely depending on the grade of the tumor. Okay, 2 malignant cancers down, 1 to go. Let's freshen up with a question. What bones do chondrosarcomas typically affect? Most chondrosarcomas occur in either the pelvis, ribs, or large bones. When they occur in the large bones, they typically affect the metaphysis. Okay, so last cancer for this episode is Ewing sarcoma. It's a rare, 1 per million, malignant tumor that is typically seen in boys under the age of 15. It is an aggressive tumor that metastasizes early to other parts of the body. It commonly appears on the central shafts of bone. Unlike other bone tumors that arise from bone cells or cartilage cells, the cell origin of Ewing sarcoma is unknown. The debate is whether the cancer arises from mesenchymal stem cells or primitive neuroectodermal cells, although current evidence suggests the former. On histology, anaplastic, small, blue malignant cells are seen. Ewing sarcomas are unique in that most cases are associated with 1122 gene translocations, where non-homologous chromosomes are rearranged to cause a gene abnormality and abnormal protein synthesis. Patients complain of swelling and pain near the tumor that lasts for weeks or months. This pain progressively worsens, and it's often worse at night. Patients can also complain of constitutional symptoms like fever, weight loss, and fatigue. An X-ray shows another type of periosteal reaction in the bone, this one giving the bone an onion skin appearance, where it looks like the reaction is occurring in layers. Similar to osteosarcoma, treatment of Ewing sarcoma involves chemotherapy followed by surgery. Some patients are also treated with radiation. Here's our recap question. What translocation is seen in Ewing sarcoma? Ewing sarcomas are associated with the 11-22 translocation. Alright, that's all I have today on primary bone tumors. Let's see if we reached our goals for this episode. Let's start broad. What are the three possible origins of a bone neoplasia? Bone neoplasias can be primary, so originating from the bone. They can be hematopoietic, so originating from the nearby bone marrow. Or they can represent metastasis from distant organs. Next, what type of bone lesions can metastatic cancers cause? Cancers metastatic to bone can cause osteolytic lesions, so areas of decreased bone, osteoblastic lesions, so areas of increased bone formation, or both. Importantly, the bone is weakened in all cases, even with osteoblastic lesions. What are the most common benign primary bone tumors? The most common benign primary bone tumors are osteochondroma and osteoid osteoma. Both are treated with pain relief or surgical excision if symptoms are severe. Now, what is the most common malignant bone tumor? The most common primary malignant bone tumor is osteosarcoma, mostly seen in children. What is the translocation and radiologic finding associated with Ewing sarcoma? Ewing sarcomas are malignant primary bone tumors that are caused by the 11-22 gene translocation, and they are most common in boys. The classic periosteal reaction associated with this cancer is the onion skin appearance of the bone. And finally, what is the therapy for both osteosarcoma and Ewing sarcoma? Treatment for these malignant cancers involves chemotherapy, followed by surgery. Thinking back to Charlie, your 14-year-old patient who has been experiencing pain in his right thigh for the past several weeks. On exam, he shows mild tenderness over the anterior thigh and a palpable mass. You order an X-ray and find the bony outgrowth at the end of his femur. The radiology reports describe it as being consistent with osteochondroma. How do you explain to him and his parents this diagnosis? You start by telling them that the X-ray showed a non-cancerous growth of the bone and cartilage called an osteochondroma, which is common in growing boys. You show them the X-ray images and discuss the treatment expectations. Because Charlie still has growing to do, the growth may increase in size, but it is unlikely to continue to do so after he stops growing. These benign tumors can be monitored radiologically if there isn't any associated pain or disability. Surgery is usually not necessary. You refer the family to orthopedics for further discussion, and they opt to manage conservatively for now. And that is a wrap on primary bone tumors. If you liked what you heard, make sure to like and subscribe to this podcast. Your feedback is super helpful to us. You can also get the full RxBrix experience online at www.usmle-rx.com. I will catch you on the next one.